Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayton Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to the Brayton Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, X, Instagram, and TikTok. And subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. Now, let's get into the show. What five universities have won every major college championship in basketball, men's basketball, football, and baseball? It's good, Frank. I like that.
Well, thank you. I test them out on my friends every day, too, to see if they're any good. If they get them in, like, right
seconds.
In order, then I'm like, wow, we got to come up with something new now.
We like giving things away, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. You guys see the Wandy Peralta, Roky Sasaki stat comparison? Just to...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Anger all the people.
Wandy Peralta confirmed better than Roky Sasaki this year. Confirmed better.
You can manipulate stats anyway. Wandy Peralta's got a 0.3 war. Sasaki's got a 0.1 war. He's pitching 34 games this year to 8, but that makes sense because Sasaki's got 8 games started. Roky Sasaki has gone 34 1/3 innings this year. Wandy Peralta has gone 34 innings. They've both thrown relatively 34 innings. Peralta's got a better record. He's 3-1. Doesn't matter. He's got a better ERA, 3.71. His ERA plus is 112. Sasaki's is 84. He's got more strikeouts than Sasaki at 27-24. Higher strikeout rate. He has walked less, lower walk rate. Wandy Peralta is better than Roky Sasaki. Just saying.
I'll tell you what.
Do I actually believe that? No, I do not. But stat-wise, hey, you know, Wandy Peralta is better pitcher than Roky Sasaki.
I'm looking up at the TV right now, and MLB Network is showing a preview for the Mets Bravos tonight. 97 degrees at Citi Field tonight. I know what that feels like. It's not fun.
97. What's the humidity? Probably high.
Probably around 95 to 100. One night. I was Mets Cubs. I went there one night and the Cubs just went off. It was like 15-2 was the final. It was 95 degrees with 97% humidity. At 10:30 at night, and I am sitting there on a train platform, depressed, sweating, tired, feeling like I needed a shower 3 hours before. It was the worst experience of my life as a Met fan. The worst.
Did you flush it the next day?
I flushed it after the shower because that's at that point, 95 degrees and 97% humidity at midnight. I'm sorry. I don't care about the game anymore. I just want a shower. Now, I don't care about the game. I want to get washed.
Fair enough. I think the worst baseball game I've ever been to is like any day game for the Rangers in their old ballpark. Because there's no wind. Well, it gets windy in Texas, but it was all enclosed. Globe Life.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There was no wind in there, and you would just bake. You would just bake in the sun. And I could understand why nobody wanted to go to day games for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
tickets were like super cheap, and I was just like baking in the sun. Everybody was like trying to sit in the shades, not really any shade. I could see why they moved indoors, deep in the heart of Texas. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. It's so funny, like, the perceptions of... I can't tell you how many times I've heard people go like, oh, Wandy Peralta's in, game's over, walking home. Out of here. Come on, man. He's not that bad. It hasn't worked out. He's not that bad. If you factor out his game in New York, his, like, ERA is not that... He's okay. Not the worst. It's funny sometimes. It's just he's not that bad. Just like some guys are not that good. I just thought it was funny. Yeah, he's better than Roky Sasaki, man. Wandy Peralta. Stats don't lie. Stats. He's better in every statistical category. He's better.
By the way, and I texted you this back in February, I think it was. Mm-hmm. The window is opening. For those of you who've been listening long enough, you guys know my mother is a witch when it comes to like predicting
yellow
this
pants.
Stuff. Yes, the yellow pants to work.
Any team that wears yellow pants is a loss in the playoffs or something.
Right. But I texted you in February when I told my mother that Roky Sasaki signed with the Dodgers. She said July. And I said, what does that mean? She goes, that's when he's getting Tommy John surgery, is July. So the window is opening.
Oh, God.
And Sasaki should be very concerned for the entire month of July.
I need your mom to be like, the Padres are winning the World Series. Can we say that?
It doesn't work with stuff. It doesn't work that way because the Mets would win a World Series every single year if that were the case.
Okay.
She's very good at predicting bad stuff.
Some people in the chat actually believe when I said Wandy Peralta is better than Roky Sasaki.
That's why.
Man, stats, dude, stats. Never know if it's a sarcastic hour or not. Let's get to the phones. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Davis in San Diego, the Braden Soprano Show. What's going on, Davis?
Hey, Braden. I just want to talk about Schilt. I know he's a good manager and stuff, but like sometimes I feel like he makes some like unnecessary moves. Like, I was at the game last night, and I see Yuki warming up, and I'm like, I guess the game's over already. And then I see scoreboard, and I'm like, well, we're not down that much. Why would he be coming in? And Morgan was pitching fine. He gave a base hit, and then struck out too. I just don't understand why he'd bring Yuki in. I feel like that would just be unnecessary. I get the matchup, but Yuki... I'm pretty sure he's not much better against lefties than righties, and it doesn't really matter. So I just don't know why we would take Morgan out.
Well, Davis, a lot of different reasons. That's a good phone call. It's a good question. The reality is, and it's you look at the way you manage, you got to worry about the entire season when it comes to bullpen arms. And these guys are in they're on the major league team. He's going to use them. And so, again, like when you look at some of these decisions, you can't view it in a sense of what happened after the fact. You got to view it in the sense of in the moment. Now, in the moment, again, you don't know about who's hot, who's ready to go, who's available, and all that stuff. But there's a rhyme or reason to all of these potential moves that Mike Schilt does make. And you can't burn your best guys all the time. You can't use Adam and Estrada and Suarez every single night. When you don't even have Suarez last night. So you got to go with a lot of the guys that are in your spot. It's funny you brought up Yuki Matsui. That was a great call, Davis. Hopefully you call in more. I was talking to a Dodger fan today. You're not going to believe this, Frank. What would you? I mean, a lot of people think in the Padres organization, in the Padres fan base, do you think they have positive comments about Yuki Matsui and Wandy Peralta or negative ones?
I would say negative.
Negative. They remember all the bad times, right? I was talking to a Dodgers fan this morning. You know what he said about Yuki Matsui?
I don't want to see Yuki Matsui in the playoffs.
He hates Yuki Matsui because
because he mows down the top of the Dodgers order. He's like, I'm tired of watching Betts, Freeman, and Ohtani strike out to Yuki Matsui. I hate Yuki Matsui. It's amazing like how you view some of these pitchers, right?
It's what it's like looking at stuff in a vacuum.
Padres fans.
Speaking of a
hate
vacuum.
Hate Yuki Matsui. Yeah, what is that?
I've been hearing it all day.
It's a tornado that rolls through here. But anyway, it's like Padres fans. Yuki Matsui comes in. The game's over. Dodgers fans. I hate seeing Yuki Matsui pitch. Isn't that funny? Dodgers fans for a long time hated Austin Barnes and Chris Taylor, the bottom of their order. Meanwhile, as a Padres fan, you also hate the bottom of the Dodgers order because that's the part of the order that beats you all the time. That's a good call from Davis. Hopefully we get... How old do you think Davis was?
I'll ask him next time.
Yeah, you should. That's pretty cool. Good stuff, kid. In the chat. Love that.
All got to start somewhere.
We like the youthful movement here in the show.
Start somewhere.
Don't watch during school. If you do, don't get caught. I don't want to get in trouble for that. Watch it on your iPad or something.
Also, the youth movement in the show is great, but we also would appreciate you not having your six-year-old call. We do have to have an age floor at some point.
Unless your six-year-old's got nose ball, you know? Then
yeah,
that's your six-year-old call.
There you go.
Kian and Encinitas, you're on the Braden's Apprentice Show. What's going on, Kian?
Hey, guys. I talk about a tough game experience. I was at the August 26, 2021 Padres-Dodgers game I got to sleep at like 2:30 a.m. Not because of reckless decisions, because the game lasted until I think it was like 1:15 a.m. And the Padres were no hit from the third inning till like the 14th inning or something. It was miserable. I think we basically could have done a podcast throughout the entirety of it. It was an insane game and so boring, but we did it.
What was the, what's the question? Or the
there's no question. I'm just referencing a tough game experience, bad game experience that you guys were talking about.
Oh yeah, that's right. So a little bit of a tough experience of what is it? 24 innings in a row.
Yeah, sorry, we were kind of distracted in here because somebody
kept running past the
there was something
sprinting.
Going on here. I don't know if it was in up here, if it was the floor below us. I don't know what happened, so we got a little distracted there.
Is that what he said? Do we got to roll back the tape? I was really confused. I was like, what was the deal? A 100 meter race broke out in the hallway.
That's what that was.
Yes. Speaking of kids,
we had a couple of stampeding heffalumps.
I was like, "Where is that coming from?" It is the kids out for summer. Must be our kids' camp here at Odyssey. I was like, "What is that noise?" And here's the every time I hear sprinting in the hallways, it's almost like the same feeling that you get in radio when you hear dead air, because a lot of the times it's Adam sprinting in the hallways because something is horribly wrong in studio.
He was pacing back and forth. I was trying to figure out if he was like just on the phone or if he was like waiting to come in here to tell us something.
So he was going, he like sprints when we're off air or something bad happens or like, don't do that, whatever. So I get nervous every time I hear the sprint, and I have to look to see if it's Adam, and it wasn't Adam, and I'm like, where is... And obviously I couldn't see it because it's a child, so I can't see, it's not tall enough. I can get back to my daycare hours, I guess. So, do I get paid extra for that?
So, Kian, we weren't being rude, there was something happened here that really distracted us.
Did anybody in the chat got what he said? He was talking about like a bad game experience.
Yeah, we weren't ignoring you. I do remember he said he didn't get home until about 2 o'clock in the morning
and because
a Padre-Dodger game went long. They didn't get a hit for like four innings innings.
I gotta know. He gave his Padres version of a miserable experience, like your experience.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I was confused on. I was like, what was the basis there? I forgot that you mentioned the awful, horrible, no good rotten
yes.
day mm-hmm. of being a Mets fan. Okay, it makes sense.
That's just my whole life. It's not a single day. It's rotten, horrible, no good life at this point.
What's the book? Rotten, horrible, no good, whatever day.
I don't remember.
I don't know. The chat wasn't pleased with the phone call. Let's see if Derek and La Mesa could jive things up a little bit. Derek, what's going on?
What's going on, brother? Hey, referencing your young caller, I'm setting the over-under at 12, by the way.
All right.
I'm thinking 12,
seems good.
13, something like that.
It's a good call for a 12 to 13-year-old, though, Derek.
100%, 100%. Hey, brother, Padre fan is driving me insane. I mean, I don't know how the ones that continue to bitch every single time they lose. Like, I don't know how you get through a season without having a heart attack. Xander Bogaerts. All you need to know about Xander is what his teammates say about him. The guy's been incredibly unlucky, and here's a news flash for you. If Xander Bogaerts, and I get it, the captain, Jeter, A-Rod, and Garcia Parra changed that position, okay? But if Xander Bogaerts was a shortstop in the 80s, he might be a borderline Hall of Famer, okay? What did Ozzie Smith hit for his career? About 250? And I understand he was a great shortstop, but I'm not sure the guy could hit a ball out of the ballpark with a fungo bat from second base. I mean, he was a defensive wizard, and he was an average hitter. Xander Bogaerts is a good ball player. His exit velo is there. His expected batting average is there. Dennis Lynn's article was fantastic. I loved it. I thought it was great. But, I mean, just these unreal – look, did we overpay for Bogaerts? Yeah, we did. But there's nothing you can do about it now. Literally nothing. Nobody's going to take that contract. The guy's playing great defense. He's starting to come around. The exit velo is there. I hate talking exit velo stats, but it is what it is.
You ever paid attention to that when you were a player, Derek?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on, bro. Like, no one, we weren't talking about launch angle and exit velo and all this nonsense. Xander Bogaerts is a good major league baseball player. He's a good shortstop. He's had an incredible amount of bad luck this year. But guess what, Padre fan? There's nothing we can do about it. He is going to play shortstop for the San Diego Padres for this foreseeable future. And so you can whine about it and lament about it and be so upset about it. Nothing's going to change. The Padres are doing fine. Oh, my God, we lost to the Nationals. Guess what? We're probably going to lose a game to the Rockies this year, too, again. Okay? It's probably going to happen. And the 60 wins, 60 losses, what do you do with the other 42, is the truest stat in professional baseball. It's what do you do in the other 42. And so, Padre fan, we're fine. We're missing three pitchers. Everything's going to be okay.
And we'll see what happens when it comes to the reinforcements at the trade deadline. Derek Wills said. The other thing that was mentioned about the Xander Bogaerts from his teammates is the amount of lack of success that he has had, that he has not used in his at bats, that he has not let get to him defensively or on the base pass or in other aspects of his game. I don't think people understand how difficult that is. Most people that have never played sports have no idea what that's like. Especially in a game like baseball. I mean, I see it all the time in baseball. You let a bad at-bat impact the rest of the inning. You let your bad at-bat or a bad play impact you in a different aspect of your game, and all of a sudden you're ruined for a couple of innings. You don't see that with Xander Bogaerts. I mean, I think he's handled it like a pro, but we knew that. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Kevin, one, and the caller calling in right now. We're going to get to you when we come back on the Brayton Soprenet Show. Good leading you up to Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We have found the fan of the day. We have found the listener of the day. At Eric M619. He is the listener of the day. Brandon 619 is talking about, you know, moving different parts in the bullpen, and his last comment was, let him cook, let him finish the inning. You know what? Somebody let Eric M619 cook, all right? Look at this. This is great. This is great. If you're on the YouTube, our guy, 619 Chiefs on Twitter, at Eric M619. He got a smart fridge. It looks great, Eric. The smart fridge looks great. And you know what he did with the smart fridge for anybody driving around? Do you know what you can do with a smart fridge? You can watch things on a smart fridge. And what Eric M619 did was put the Brayden Cipredit Show on his fridge. Wow. Wow. I mean, imagine you're going for like a high noon, midday, having a Tuesday, you know, you're not working. And it's me and Frank on the fridge.
First official dedicated fan of the day award. Hand it out right there.
619 Chiefs on Twitter. At Eric M619. Expand. Hashtag expand. This is great. This speaks a whole new meaning to the lunchtime hour, I will say, even though we're not in it anymore. And you know what? We have all the reads of how you can find, how you can listen to the show, consume the show. Right?
Your refrigerator is not one of them, but it will be now.
It is now. You can listen in podcast form. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app. You can watch us on your mobile device. You can watch us on your refrigerator. I love it. This is great. I couldn't think of a better advertisement to buy a smart fridge than the Brayden Cipredit Show on your smart fridge.
If our sales team could work on that with Samsung or LG or whoever's making these TVs,
Whirlpool. I'll endorse it.
Yo, there's nothing more boring than sitting there watching your clothes dry on the dryer. But if you could throw the Brayden Cipredit Show up on your dryer screen, we got ourselves something right there.
L619 in the chat, good friend of the show. I do that too, but I put a projector on my fridge. You know what?
Fair enough.
It happens. Wow. That's some hate right there. It's funny, though. Anthony Sandoval, who's usually got some of the best jokes in the chat. It's a great diet tool, because if I'm going to get a snack and I saw Brayden Frank, my appetite would immediately go away. But you know, whatever helps. Oh, yeah, EC Money. Get us on the Sportsplex TVs. Love it. Love it. The fridge is just chef's kiss.
Do you imagine if they put us on the big screen at Circa?
Oh, wow.
That would be great.
That would be great.
Full side with the Brayden Cipredit Show.
I tell you, man, I got like Anthony's. I love Anthony Sandoval in the chat. He's hilarious. He's also a Saints guy. It's, you know, we can get along. The fridge thing is so funny. That is just the greatest thing ever.
That should be part of the new thing. Like when we give those tickets away to Circa Las Vegas, whichever show gets the winner is the show that they play on the big screen at Circa Las Vegas.
So great.
So like if our show got the winner qualified, then we get our show on the big screen at Circa.
I want to see him like the video on the fridge. It's a touchscreen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, those are touchscreen.
Touch the like button. Hey, click the like button. Or if you're watching on your refrigerator, tap the like button on your refrigerator. And then pass a High Noon or whatever. Insert drink here. I don't really like High Noons. That's just one of my buddies said, like, oh, I totally do that. But with Gus Johnson highlights and get your ass off the face, off the off the face of the fridge, and let me do a High Noon. Mind if a guy has a day? We have listeners today having days. 619 Chiefs on Twitter, at Eric M619, enjoying the show on his fridge. We got Rod having himself a day at Point Loma Seafood, hashtag expand. Expand. How about it? Our guys are having a day on a Tuesday. You know what? There's no better way to flush a loss last night than doing what our listeners are doing while they're consuming our product. It's great. I love it. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Devin in Chula Vista. Devin, are you watching on your fridge?
Unfortunately, I am not. I'm listening to you guys on the way home from work. What's going on, Brady? What's going on, Frank?
Another match, man. Hopefully you had a good day at work.
Appreciate it. I was at that game last night. Just it wasn't too much offensively, as you guys know. But Padres fans need to relax. You know, it's not that big of a deal. We got to look at where we were last year, barely battling to stay around 500, and we're 6 games ahead right now with a lighter schedule. Mind you, I'm a little bit younger, 22 years old. I haven't been able to see this team be good in what, for the first 18 years of my life, and I've been a Padres fan since I was born. So everyone needs to relax. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you, dude. I've been on this planet only 8 years longer than you have. It's the same. Numbers are working out relatively the same. So I agree with that. Devin, I appreciate the phone call, man. I think you wanted to ask a little bit about trade deadline stuff, too. Left field, I think, is probably the number one spot. Again, I think the biggest wild card in this deadline, why you can't pull the trigger early, are the Arizona Diamondbacks. Because that's going to affect the market one way or the other. If the Arizona Diamondbacks are sellers, that opens up a lot of things for a lot of teams and probably drops the prices of a lot of the potential trade candidates at the deadline that are not currently playing well. Because the trade possibilities for the Arizona Diamondbacks, if they decide to sell, Eugenio Suarez is having a great year. Josh Naylor having a great year. Merrill Kelly having a great year. They have a couple of pitchers. They got a couple of position players and bats all on rentals that if they flood the market, even though I don't think the Padres will make trades with the Diamondbacks, lowers the price of a lot of other players. I look at Luis Robert Jr. for a second. People are like mad that I said they should acquire him because he's not playing well. I think it'd be a project or rolling the dice. If I would go after a guy like Luis Robert Jr., I think you could probably get him for almost free. You flood the market with some of the players on the Diamondbacks, Luis Robert Jr., they have no leverage there because he's basically a rental. He's got two club options worth $20 million each. Nobody's going to pick those up. So he's a player that's underperforming. He's a rental because nobody's going to pick up the club options. You don't have to give up anything for him. Maybe like the 16th best prospect in your organization. Try to catch lightning in a bottle with him. But I don't think that should be your only move. I'd like to do that and add a DH bat. So you do have somebody good defensively regardless with Luis Robert Jr. in left field. He's got a lot of speed. It doesn't cost you a lot. And the potential on the upside is very high as long as you get another bat with it. That's called adding at the margins. That's pulling a 2021 Atlanta Braves, except for the fact that Luis Robert Jr. is not having a great year. But I think there's potential there. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Kevin in San Diego. You're on the Brayden Soprano Show. Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, gentlemen? Great to be on the show. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
I was shocked to hear Xander Bogaerts' agent call in on that last call. That was quite entertaining. Just a quick point on that. I know he's telling all the fans to chill. The reality is, and I think what people don't understand is, this guy's clogging a roster spot for the next decade, and he's slugging 340. And the comparison to Ozzie Smith even is laughable because, not to get into stats, but take a look at Fangraphs and look at Ozzie Smith's war compared to Xander Bogaerts, even at his peak with Boston. It's better across the board cumulatively, so that's a horrible comparison, and Xander's fielding's not even there. So I think, you know, 2 points. The main thing is he's clogging a roster spot, and the reality is he's also clogging $300 million of potential payroll that could have been allocated to arguably two or three other players to fill a lot of these spots. And I think that's what people don't realize, is that we're stuck, and we've got this guy who's declining now for the next 8 years, which is disturbing. But you also, though, read my mind in that Arizona situation. You look at a guy like Jordan Lawler, for example, who's kind of blocked, positionally speaking, by Perdomo at short, for example, as well. I know Carroll got hurt last night, too. So I'm wondering, do you think the Diamondbacks would be in a position to deal within division if they were out of it? Because you've got, arguably, you mentioned a few of them, but you've even got potential prospects like a guy like Lawyer who, you know, hasn't yet panned out in 90 at-bats, but maybe we can kind of load up on some youth potentially as well, in a deal. I'd love to get Naylor back. I think that's yet another Preller trade that didn't go well, too. So thoughts on that all across the board.
Well, Kevin, I appreciate the phone call. I don't think Xander is a completely declining player. And again, he is a good player on a good team, as AJ Cassaville alluded to. I don't think he's as bad as people think. But at the same time, talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks, I think now teams are more reluctant to trade within division, but it doesn't mean they won't. I think it's more of an Arizona Diamondbacks thing more than an AJ Preller thing with the Padres. Because at the end of the day, as a general manager, you're looking to better your team the best way you can. That's what you're trying to do. You don't really care about the other teams. So if I make a trade within the division and I made my team better, that's all I really care about. You can't be worried about, you know, whether or not their team got better. An ideal trade is both teams improve and both teams get what they need. That's the ideal part of a trade. You don't see a lot of interdivision trades. So I'm not going to say it's impossible. I don't see the Padres and Diamondbacks making a deal for any of their players. But I do think that those players that you mentioned are available and could be available for other teams that would lower the price for other players throughout Major League Baseball. That's where I think that helps the Padres if the Arizona Diamondbacks sell. Aside from the fact that it would help them this year, it's one less team to worry about. Now, in the future, if Arizona gets the young prospects out of these players, which they could, there'll be someone to deal with in the next couple of years or so. So, interesting topic of discussion. We got to take a break. We got the final segment of the Braden Soprano Show leading into Gwynn and Chris when we come back. 97.3.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
To the fan. On a Tuesday, a passing league Tuesday, going up to Carlsbad. After this, passing league in full force for high school football. We have some high school football news today that I'm going to talk about on Thursday. We're going to briefly talk about it on Thursday. Thursdays are kind of our days, right? Thursdays and Fridays to mix in other sports because it's kind of down with the Padres off day. But what has been very funny to watch and pay attention to is, and now it's called highschoolratings.com, but it used to be called calpreps.com, and the beef between Calpreps and the San Diego section has been hilarious. I've enjoyed every second of it. I look at, and I got one of my guys that I know, coaching friends that coaches at Lincoln, sent me this thing that I sent to Frank, and we'll break it down, on highschoolratings.com. They do all the ratings for the high school teams to determine playoffs and stuff like that. There's an expert just on San Diego section ratings, and the question of the article that they put together was, how can San Diego section coaches help get the ratings back? And it's this long diatribe. Oh, man. You guys, the thing is, you guys miss it, man. Like, you don't... I get involved. I love the Padres world, and everything involved with the Padres world is one thing. But in the other sports communities that I'm a part of, there is some serious drama. It's like a Bravo show. The high school football world's like, it's a totally different thing. And the best part is, like, anytime I don't have to, like, get into it, it becomes so eye-watched, I just flip to the other world. I just go, you know what? Padres world's a little bit eye-watched for me. I'm going to flip to the high school football world, and then I go back very quickly. So, we're going to get to that on Thursday. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But we're in full force high school football in the summer, so for all the kids out there, getting ready for the football season. We have a passing league. We're playing in the Cathedral, is playing in the Mission Viejo tournament this weekend. I think some of the top teams from San Diego are in that tournament, if I'm not mistaken. Lincoln's in it. Mission Hills is in it. LCC's in it. Cathedral's in it. All teams that could potentially make the open division. Plus, a lot of good teams from Orange County, St. John Bosco, Mission Viejo, obviously. Modern Day is going to be in it. It's going to be fun. And we'll have high school football coverage on this show. Not in, like, extensive. Like, people, like, hear that and they get, like, freaked out. Nobody cares about high school football. Apparently they do. But it will be very, we'll talk about it in spurts. We're not spending an hour on high school football. We're going to have, like, a small segment on it during the fall. But we will talk about it and the stories and the trending lines of that, as well as college football and the NFL all in the fall. It's going to be great. Frank Marchese, Brayden Soprenant. Tomorrow, show adjustments. So tomorrow, we will be live at the Loft. We'll be live at the Loft for tomorrow's show. Hopefully, getting you set up for what could potentially be Padres Nationals for a Padres victory. We'll see what happens tonight. First pitch at 6:40. Pregame show, Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levin at 5:40. Again, we will be on tomorrow, 10 to noon, live from the Loft. We will see Rod there. We will see Nate there. They're always there on the Wednesday day games. They always come up to the Loft and say hi. You should too. Frank's first remote at this day. He's fired up. Wear your best. Be excited. Be ready to go. You think I'm fired up on every day to start the show? Frank's going to be bouncing off the walls. It's going to be great. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Let's get to Juan at Oceanside. Juan, what's going on, man?
Yo, what's up, Braden? I was thinking about Frank's terrible day watching the Mets, and it reminded me of, because every time I've ever gone to see the Padres at Petco Park, they win, but they've only lost to one team when I've gone, and it's Frank's Mets. And the one time I went, Bartolo Colon hit the home run when he was like 42 years old, and I was so upset, and I was like, should I just leave? But I decided to stay because I just stay for all the games no matter what. We could be getting blown out like 13-0. But I kind of wanted to know what is your worst Padres/sports experience? Because we already heard Frank's.
Well, worst sports experience is definitely the national championship game. I mean, there's nothing worse than that. Padres wise, it's hard for like the Padres. Like anytime you lose to the Dodgers, it's annoying. But the majority of my life, they weren't winning, so it was like it was expected that the Padres were just not going to win. I had low expectations going to most games growing up as a kid. Like, I hope they win. And if they did, it was great. In terms of, I haven't really been devastated by the Padres' losses that much. But I think it comes with the territory of, like, the team historically during my lifetime has not been very good. They've had really good years mixed in, but they haven't been, like, good for a long period of time. So for me, the worst is, like, in the national championship game, you lose, like, 60 points to Georgia. It's like, and the thing that was annoying, it didn't even look like, it just looked like we were happy to be there. So it's like you spent the money and the day was miserable already. Like it was raining in LA. It never rains in LA. It hardly ever rains in Southern California. It's raining the entire time outside. And so they had like the national championship, like tailgate and stuff, but it's raining. So it's not as great. My family went, my mom, my dad, my brother, my buddies went too, from college, my local friends. They had nothing better to do on a Monday, so they got tickets, they went. And the game was even close to being competitive. And I said, and I've heard Ben and Woods talk about this, but I would have rather had them in the game and lose on a heartbreaker than get smoked. I mean, there's nothing you can say, because now you got to deal with all the SEC fans. They're like, oh, they didn't deserve to be there. Everybody forget the fact that they beat Michigan the week before. People forget that TCU beat Michigan that year. You want to know why? Because they got blown out in the national championship game. This happened at the golf tournament last week. And I don't even know why I was getting into this conversation. So we finished up the golf tournament, and they have like, you know, when you play in a golf tournament, they have like the banquet after with food and all that stuff. They do the auctions and all that stuff. So my buddy Matt went to Washington State, wearing a Washington State Cougs polo. And some kid, like, I don't know what year he graduated, but during the years, during the time frame of me graduating college, where he was in high school, because he's still a student at Washington. And he just, like, goes up to him and just starts talking smack. And I was like, what in the apple cup is going on right now? I was like, the University of Washington fan is just talking smack to Washington, to my friend Matt, for literally no reason. He just instigated. Now, the guy had a couple of brews. You could tell. He'd been drinking. It's hot sun. He's been drinking. But he starts talking smack on the Cougs, in which my buddy quickly responded, like, you lost the apple cup last year. I don't want to hear it from you. They go back and forth. And then I had to weigh in, because it was getting ridiculous. I was like, I can't believe the guy, the UW football team, is talking smack right now. Well, not them, but the fan of it. And I was like, dude, I don't get involved with lowly programs like Washington's got a good program. It's not, but recently hasn't been that. They were in the national championship not too long ago either. I was like, I don't get involved with lowly programs like that. You know, just talking a little S. And he was like, oh, TCU got smoked in the national championship game. Hey, man, they got smoked in the national championship game, and you guys lost too. You didn't win. You don't get extra points for getting blowing a team out. But overall, worst sports experience was that. Plus, I had a bunch of people that don't like me on air, like DMing me just hateful things after my team lost. I was like, dude, like, get over yourself. Get over yourself. I had a lot of people do that. Like 5-6 different messages just like destroying me for no reason. I was just like, okay, guys, whatever. But that was the worst live sporting event experience I've ever experienced. I mean, most of the time, I think when I go to games, the team that I've rooted for has won a couple of times. You know, I went to the Tennessee-Georgia game where Tennessee lost at Georgia, but like, I don't really, it's my brother's school, so like, I root for Tennessee, but it's not the same passion as TCU, so I was just like, okay. But that's kind of the worst. Like, I do like repping a lot of college gear. I bring this upon myself, but like, I have a couple of teams. I have like, 4 or 5 teams that I root for, and they're my family's teams. It's where my family's with the school. And when you wear some of the gear, I forget that people think you're a fan. I mean, I think that when I see people wearing gear. And so now I have to defend different schools. So last night, I was wearing an Arizona Wildcat long sleeve, and I got some ASU guy talking. I was like, dude, I don't want to waste my time. I don't care. Say whatever you got to say. I went to TCU. I didn't go to Air. I went to Arizona for a semester. I don't care. It's whatever, dude. So you have to deal with that sometimes. So the Georgia fans talking smack after the Tennessee game, I don't care. So that was the worst. The national championship is definitely the worst experience live sporting event. Was that your worst Mets experience or worst sporting event experience ever?
No, that was my worst Met experience. As far as sporting event?
Where your team just didn't even show up.
Oh, God. There were a couple of bad ones here. I remember Josh Edgen falling off the mound in the ninth inning to bring in the game-winning run in the ninth. I remember the Padres beating the Mets 18-6 to the point where I went down into the left field corner and heckled Jason Bay myself. There were a walk-off hit by pitch in, I think it was 2008. The Padres have done it to me a couple times.
Wow.
Will Venable walk off in the 10th inning?
Padres have had some good moments against the Mets, I'd say. We'll take that. And that's it for our show. We'll see you guys tomorrow live at the Loft. Hopefully, getting ready for a Padres series win against the Nationals. Tony Good Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, coming up next. 97.3 The Fan. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Suprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter/X, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. Thanks again for listening. I'll catch you guys next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.